And this is a day that we've got to become desperate for the Lord. And desperation is becoming intense, extremely intense, about the things of God. And we have been mild for too long. You have been lukewarm for too long, right? So we have to become intense. We have to turn up the heat a little bit. Oh, wait a minute. You don't want to turn up the heat. Okay, then God will. You say, wait a minute. Would you rather you turn up the heat or would you rather God turn up the heat? Some say, well, I'd rather have God turn up the heat. Well, maybe you do and then maybe you don't. Because James said it like this in chapter 1. He said, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Turning up the heat. He said, wait a minute, God doesn't send trials. God doesn't send tests. Maybe you're reading the wrong Bible. Watch out. Here's what it says, continued in the Message Bible. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Oh, I like that. Under pressure, your faith life is forced out into the open and shows its true colors. Let me ask a question. Do you want to turn up the heat or do you want God to turn up the heat? Now, wait a minute. There's no options. Heat's coming. So it's a matter of either you turning it up or letting God turn it up. I've decided I'm going to turn it up myself. Okay? Watch this. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Let it, the heat, let the trial, let that thing you're facing, the challenge, let it have its perfect work. You know, the King James says it this way in verses 2 and 3 of James 1. It says that you may be lacking or wanting nothing. You know, there's an end to every storm. There's an end to every storm. Now, I'm not talking about the storm is over. I said there's an end to every storm. God has a purpose. God has a destiny. God has an assignment with every test. There's an end to every storm. Many of us are looking for the storm to end instead of looking the end of the storm. Because the end of the storm is that we reach a position in life of lacking nothing, wanting nothing. Are you there yet? Are you there at a place where you're wanting nothing, that you are lacking nothing in your life? Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus blew away the people that day. I wish I could have been there to hear that sermon. Of course, I've read about it many times. He said this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. You see, storms are normal to living. And a lot of us as Christians feel like when we're in a storm, we've done something wrong. Or we don't have enough faith. Or we sinned. I mean, preachers will tell you that. Other well-meaning Christians will tell you that. They'll begin to point fingers at you. When you're fighting for your life, there's always somebody out there telling you what you did wrong. But let me tell you again, storms are normal to living. No matter how anointed, no matter how holy, storms of life will attempt you. Okay, now that we've got that settled and everybody understands that, we can kind of move on. Because I think for a long time we have struggled with why we have storms in our life. How do we defeat them? And there is a way of defeating the storms in our life. Go back to Psalm 91. I like Psalm 91, don't you? Listen to it in the Message Bible. You're going to like it even more if you haven't read it before in the Message. Hey, you who sit down in God's high presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow. That's kind of interesting to me that there can be a shadow in the night. Say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you and I'm safe. That's right, he rescues you from the hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing. Not wild wolves in the night, nor flying arrows in the day. Not disease that prowls through the darkness. Not disaster that erupts at high noon, even though others succumb all around and drop like flies right and left. No harm will graze you. You'll stand untouched and watch it all from a distance. Watch the wicked turn into corpses. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God, your very own. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. Now, if you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. And let me tell you something. Any angel that doesn't do his job is going to get fired. God cast out a third of them from heaven. You're not doing your job, you're out of here. You're fired. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. Now watch this. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care. If only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue and then I'll throw you a party. I'll give you a long life and give you a long drink of salvation. You know, we've been having a lot of storms around here lately. Have you noticed? I say, Lord, if it's true in the natural, praise God. Make it true in the spiritual. Let it rain, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost fall on this region. We've been dry and thirsty. We are a people that have been dry and thirsty and crusted. And the other night, I was with some families and the storm hit and kaboom, you know, it was loud and crack, crack, pop, you know, all these noises and lightning was flashing. And suddenly this little boy just came running in, grabbing hold of his mother. You know, it's funny when storms come, children run to a shelter. Matter of fact, news broadcasts will say, find shelter. How about in the spiritual realm when storms come? Find shelter. And the shelter that you and I have to find is not another drink because you can't handle the pressure. Not another cigarette because you're nervous. Come on. Not to go to the bar and hang out with your buddies. No, that's not the place to go. Not to get on the internet. No, that's not. The place to go is to go in the presence of El Shaddai. Get in the presence of God. Because when you're in the presence of God, He's going to throw you a party. He's going to speak to the storm. And I want to encourage us today as we move into this outpouring of God's glory, as we move into this outpouring of God's presence on the earth, and it's all over the earth, people are coming to Christ in record numbers. The church is being revived in passion for the King. And so it's sweeping across the nations. But know this, storms will come in your pursuit of God. And you have to learn how to run to the shelter. James chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 tells us that we ought to let patience have its perfect work, so that when we get to the end of the storm, we will lack nothing. God wants us in a place where we lack nothing. You know, you don't have to commit sin to experience a storm. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, Jesus didn't commit sin. How many believe that Jesus never committed sin? Can I see your hand? Okay. That's good. That's a good thing. You need to believe that. Don't let anybody teach you differently. You know, sometimes people get a little off on their doctrines, and you have to be careful of that. You know, I kind of see it this way. There are sometimes you have to put up caution tape. Do you ever see caution tape up somewhere? You know, it tells you to kind of stay back because there's something that occurred here that's unsafe. And so, you know, matter of fact, let me just read something to you now. I think that the Lord showed me that, and I just want to read something. For example, the Florida outpouring leader has come under an apostolic covering this past Monday. Matter of fact, I was there to watch it. I wanted to see it. And I'm looking for this covering to provide guidance and correction to the extremes and the errors witnessed during this outpouring. And after visiting twice, I sense the presence of God in a powerful way, yet I've reservations about statements and positions its leadership has taken. I sent an email to the apostolic covering and leadership asking them to make a public statement about their guidance and correction, which I feel is needed. See, extra biblical activity is just that. It's not found in the Bible. Herein is the line of caution that needs to be drawn. We will remain in prayer and look for the fruit. Meanwhile, we're going to press in to the presence of God and call for His glory to fall on us. Amen? See, what happens sometimes when people go extra biblical is that the immature copy those things. And the mature resist those things. So the mature throw the baby out with the bathwater, and the immature get goofy. And, you know, God is in the church. Can I tell you something? There is no human on earth that is 100% correct when it comes to the kingdom. No human. You know why? Because you're human. I've never heard a prophecy from anybody that was 100% God. It can't be, because it came through a human. You see, God has chosen to work through people. But I want you to draw the lines of caution when you understand that things are extra biblical. See, you and I don't have to commit sin to experience storms. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus said something. He said, let's go to the other side. And he got in the boat with the disciples. Matter of fact, the Bible said there were little boats with them also. And suddenly a storm arose. Now, I don't understand this. He's the Son of God. He's never sinned. And he has a storm in his life. And so do the disciples. They're in the same storm. Two different reactions. I like this. You know what? It was like he spoke the word as the Son of God. Let us go to the other side. So he spoke the word. That was God's plan. He only said what the Father told him. He only did what the Father told him to do, right? So he said, let's go to the other side. Why? Because the Father said, let's go to the other side. So he spoke, let's go to the other side. The humanity part of him, the natural part of him, got in the boat and went to sleep. You know why he went to sleep? Because he got a word from God that he was going to the other side. And when the storm arose, it didn't wake him and it didn't bother him and he wasn't concerned. You know why? Because he got a word from God that said he was going to the other side. But not the way the disciples responded. Now the disciples were what? Fishermen. So they had been on this Sea of Galilee so many times. And it's not really a sea, it's a lake. It's like a big pond. And if you go to Israel with me next spring, I'll take you there. Matter of fact, the dates are March 29th through the April 5th. Those are our dates. The cost is going to be about $2,500. You need to call immediately 133 and get your $350 deposit in. We have limited space. I'm only going to do one bus. I have 48 people to go on one bus, and we're not going to do two buses. So one bus to keep the cost down. So get your tickets. I mean, get your space reserved. But the Sea of Galilee had risen up in a huge storm. And interestingly, this huge storm was intimidating to the disciples who had been in many storms in life. Do you know there's going to come a storm in your life that is going to intimidate the socks off you? There are things in our life that we've been able to handle, but let me tell you something, the heat is getting turned up. Now, let me ask this question again. Do you want to turn up the heat, or do you want God to turn up the heat? I'm going to turn it up, Lord. I'm going to turn it up. Matter of fact, I'm asking the entire church to join me in turning up the heat. Starting July 7th through August 7th, 30 days of consecration. And give God 2.4 hours, a tithe of every day for 30 days to pray, worship, and read the Word of God. I challenge you to join me. Turn the television off for 30 days. No TV for 30 days. And give God 2 hours and 40 minutes of worship, prayer, and praise for 30 days. And on August 7th is the first day of camp meeting, 7th through the 10th. And I'm preaching on August 7th. And God gave me a word out of Ezekiel 44 about the sons of Zadok and the Levites. And the sons of Zadok were those who would service the glory of God. But Levites were given to menial tasks in the temple. And the reason why they were given to menial tasks is because they had mixed themselves with the idols of this world. But the sons of Zadok had kept consecrated and pure unto the Lord. And God said, because you've done that, I'm going to let you service my glory. But for those of you that wouldn't do it, you're just going to be limited to menial things in the church. Oh, I can hardly wait till August 7th. 30 days of consecration. You can do it. You need to do it. Your family needs you to do it. Your marriage needs you to do it. In John chapter 9, they were asking everybody, hey, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, no man had sinned, but that the glory of God might be seen. You know, you go through the storm of blindness. That's a storm, man. That's a life storm. And people say, well, you sin, that's why you're blind. No, no man had sinned, not his parents, not this man, but that the God that we serve, that he might see, receive all the glory. There's some storms that you're going through right now, not only to purify our lives, not only to have the end of love, wanting nothing and find the place of perfect rest, but that God would get the glory through your life. Some of you need to submit so you'll give God the glory. Some of you have been fighting God for a long time. Some of you have been resisting and bitter towards God and towards the kingdom of God, towards the church and towards pastors and towards church leaders. And you've got to stop. Why? So you can give God the glory. Give God the glory. A life redeemed. You know, I was in the steel industry for a while before I went into ministry back in the 60s and 70s. And I know something about steel. You don't build a bridge that has to bear extreme amounts of weight with steel that's not strengthened. And the way you strengthen the steel is to get the impurities out. It becomes liquid. It is fired up. And it becomes strong. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. But he's not going to use imperfect steel beams. He can't use steel that won't bear up underneath the weight of his glory. And so that's why he's preparing his church this morning. That's why he's putting us, we're going through some stuff. Every one of us in this room have been through some stuff, some storms. Maybe you're going through one right now and you barely made it to church because you're at the point of breaking. But let me tell you what's going to happen on the end. The end of this whole thing is you're going to be made strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And God is going to build out of our lives a bridge or a pathway where the nations will find Christ. He said, I'm going to build my church not with imperfection, but with perfection. I'm going to build my church with materials that can bear the weight. So do you want to turn up the heat, or would you like God to turn up the heat? See, when I say about turning up the heat, I'm talking about starting to press into the presence of God. We've gone far too long of the average Christian reading their Bible 10 minutes a week. far too long of the average preacher's praying 10 minutes a day or less. I'm talking about the average pastor prays less than 10 minutes a day. Not this one, because I'm not average. But the average pastor prays 10 minutes a day. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to brag. I'm just telling you that's my lifestyle. I'm not going to ask you to do something that I don't do all the time. You know, 2 hours, 3 hours a day is my normal in the presence of God. That's my normal time. So I'm just saying though, that we've got to turn up the heat. Some of you come to church like every other Sunday. I don't know what you do on the off Sunday, but you really should think about coming every week. You say, why? Because there's a commanded blessing where the body of Christ has come together. There really is. There's a commanded blessing. And you want to get into that presence of the Lord so He can purify you. You see, the children of Israel had the promise of going into the promised land. But you know, before they got there, they had to deal with taskmasters in Egypt. They say, God, why would you put a heavy taskmaster on them? And then when they got through that, they had a divinely arranged Red Sea experience. And then after that, they had a Jordan River experience. And then after that, bitter water. And then after that, the walls of Jericho. It's like, God, can't we do anything easily? Do we have to go through this stuff all the time? You know what? I'm getting a little tired of it. Some of you are thinking that this morning. You're thinking, you know what? I wish He would just ease up. I wish this would start to be a little easier. Because you know what? I'm getting tired of this, God. And if you don't change, I'm out of here. Well, guess what? The storms of life are normal for every person in here. And you're looking at the storm instead of who's with you in the storm. What about Joseph? Joseph had a dream of ruling. Then he had to go through slavery. He was sold as a slave by his family. How would you like to be the sibling that all your brothers and sisters take you down to the market and go, hey, you want to buy a kid? That's what they did. They sold their brother on a caravan that was taking slaves to peddle them. Suddenly, dreams of ruling to being shackled and chained, carried away from your homeland to God only knows where, being beaten by some slave owner, and yet you know who you are, you know what your destiny is, you know your heritage, you know who your father is, and you find yourself in a place where nobody knows who you are, nobody knows who your father is, nobody knows your heritage, nobody knows your destiny, and you keep trying to tell them, and they keep laughing at you. Then he goes into prison because he tried to remain true and pure. Then he was betrayed. Then he was falsely accused. The storms are not meant to defeat you, but they are meant to enthrone you. In church, you've been using the storms as an excuse not to press into God's presence. You and I are using our troubles and our trials as a reason why we don't come to church, because we're going through some stuff. You use storms as a reason, as a foundation for why we're not praying anymore. Well, I just can't pray because you know what? I'm really going through it. And we use all of that as a premise for our spiritual dryness. Here's the key to overcoming. Number one, the Passover. Learn how to apply the blood. And number two, eat all the lamb. You know, this is not Kentucky Fried Chicken. Or let's put it this way, Kentucky Fried Lamb. You can't come up to the drive-through window here at church and say, I just want a left leg. We don't sell it that way. We sell lamb as whole. And you can't just eat part of it, you got to eat all of it. And if you don't eat all of it, you haven't eaten any of it. And here we are in this generation, we're piecemealing Christ. We're piecemealing the Word of God. We're piecemealing the church. We're piecemealing the kingdom. God said, you got to eat it all. Got to eat it all. You got to eat it all. All or nothing. Hallelujah. I don't want to do that. All or nothing. And then You got to wear the coat. Look at somebody and say, put the coat on. Now, if you wear that coat, you become a target, because nobody likes you when you have that coat on. That's the coat of favor. That's the coat of righteousness. That's the coat of multiple colors. That's a coat that was given by his father, marking him as a destiny son. And because he wore that coat, he was despised among his brethren. But let me tell you something. Put the coat on. Put on the robe of righteousness. That's the only way you'll make it through the storm. And it's not if the storms come. Everybody say with me, when? That's what the Bible says. Mark 4, verse 33. Here we have this, you know, tremendous storm. And Jesus is asleep in the boat. It tells us in verse 38, but he was in the stern, the back of the boat, sleeping on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, Teacher, do you not even care that we're perishing? I mean, don't you care? God, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm on food stamps? Don't you care I just lost my job? Don't you care? She walked out. Don't you care? Oh, I just got to tell you, God really doesn't care. He doesn't really care. He's like, I don't care. No, that's not God. That's your thinking. God cared so much that he hung upon a tree called Calvary. God cared so much that he tagged Team Heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to empower you and strengthen you. God cared so much that he's coming again through the clouds. Every eye will behold him. God cared enough to give you his word. That verse speaks to us of living in perfect rest. You see, rest is born out of faith in God's ability and his grace. Restlessness, where most of the church has been, is the result of no faith and operating in fear. Restlessness is no faith and operating in fear. Hebrews 10:35 says, do not throw away your confidence, for it has what? Great reward. Great reward. So I don't understand why I'm going through this. There's an end to your storm. So pursue the end of the storm, not the finish of it. God, what is it that you're wanting to perfect in me? Let that storm patiently have its work in me. See, when storms appear, you have to exhibit a deep-seated, heartfelt confidence in God's ability. It's like those three Hebrew children. You know, it doesn't really matter to us there, Kingy. I'm going to let you know right now, we go into that hot furnace, cool with us. Because if we burn up, that's cool. But if we don't, that's cool too, because God is in control of our life. In other words, na-na-na-na-boo-boo, you can't catch this. They had a confidence in God that they were not intimidated by the situation that they were facing. They weren't intimidated because they knew that they served a living God. Everybody say living. The Bible says he is the God of the living and not the dead. God is the God of the living, and I'm alive, and therefore he is my God. And he's not going to forsake me, and he's not going to leave me. Daniel said, no problem, put me in the lion's den. I know that you give me your angels charge over me. You know, let the angel deal with the lion. I'm just going to deal with you. God, I don't have time to be worrying about some lion that's hungry. So you take care of the lion, and I'll take care of you. God says, deal. So he goes into the lion's den. 24 hours later, he's still there, and the lions are laying down sleeping. I don't know if the angel, you know, chokehold him or something. I don't know what they did. Punched him out. I don't know what they did, but they shut their mouths. How many believe that's a true story? How many believe that if that happened today, you wouldn't believe it? How many believe in the Bible that a donkey actually spoke to a prophet? How many believe that? How many believe that if I came in here today and said on my way here, a horse stopped me and talked to me and told me what to say this morning? How many would believe that? How many believe that Moses' rod turned into a serpent? How many believe that? It's funny how we'll believe what's in the Bible. That is absolutely absurd. I mean, I'm sorry, but I can't ever... I've seen donkeys. Those things don't talk. Have you ever seen a donkey talk? No. You know, kind of reminds me of the story of the parrot that had a foul language. You ever hear that story about the parrot that had foul language? How many heard the story? Oh, okay, I won't tell it then. But you know, kept cussing out this lady. This lady got mad. She said, I am not putting up with your foul mouth. And, you know, he just kept talking back. So he grabbed that parrot and threw it in the freezer. Closed the door. And she started feeling bad about, you know, the parrot in the freezer. She said, I better take the parrot out of the freezer. So she pulled the parrot out of the freezer. Did you learn your lesson? Yeah, I learned my lesson. You promised never to cuss again? Yeah, I promised never to cuss again. But I have one question. What is it? What'd that chicken do in there? So parrots talk, chickens can't talk. But you and I have got to understand that God's going to get you out of your storm. Whether it's a lion that has to be settled down and put to sleep, or, dig this one, a whale will swallow you up and spit you out in the right place. You know, God will get you where He needs you to be. God will get you to the other side. Amen? Can you look at somebody and say, you're going to make it? But here was Jesus' response to them. Now, these guys were fishermen. They were experienced. You know what they were doing. They were holding down the rigging. They were trying to take care of the sails. They were on the oars. I mean, they were throwing stuff over. They were putting anchors over. They did everything they could do. And when they couldn't take care of it, they came and got Jesus. Now, some of you have been doing everything you've been trying to do to keep afloat in your storm. You've been working hard. You've been trying to keep things together. You've been trying to come up with solutions. You've been talking to people. You've been consulting the world. You've done everything you can do. But guess what? The storm is still there. Why don't you this morning find Jesus and say, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus looked at him and said, you guys just don't get it, do you? Did I say we're going the other side? Yeah, you did. Well then, why would you say we're going to perish? Are we on the other side yet? No. But here's what he said. Don't you have any faith? That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Where's your faith? Don't you have any faith? Don't you have any belief in what I said? And then Jesus demonstrated something for us that God's trying to draw every one of us into in this church. A place of rest in His presence. And some of you are still resisting. And let me tell you something. If you have to be hogtied, guess what? God will do it. Because He's not going to give up on you. Some of you have been serving God so long, He's saying, look, I got too much invested in you. You're coming. And so Jesus spoke to him and He said, okay, where's your faith? What He did was He spoke to the storm. Isn't that what He did in Mark? He actually spoke to the storm. I think He said something like, peace be still. Or quiet down or something. Let's see, what does it say? Don't you care that we're perishing? What's the next scripture? Could you have the next one there? On the same day when evening had come, He said to them, no. Oh, there He goes. That's what He said. He rebuked the wind. He rebuked the wind. And as I was reading this, God spoke to me when I was in a prayer time at my little prayer walk things. And this is what He said. He said, if you don't rebuke the storm you're in, it'll keep raging. I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, you got to rebuke the storm. So if it's a financial storm, you look at the financial storm and you say, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you, financial oppression from my family, in the name of Jesus. And I speak peace to my finances. Or my physical health, or whatever it is. And so you and I have to learn how to speak to the storms of life. And it said the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And I pray right now, a great calm over your lives. A great calm over the house of God. A great calm, a confidence. We're not going to perish. We're not going under. We're not losing. We're going to be saved. We're going to be safe and secure in the arms of our Savior. Don't get nervous. God's not forgot about you. God knows where you are. He's been patiently waiting and wooing you. Come on, it's time now to come back to Him. It's time now to take your authority that He's given you and speak to this storm. Speak to the storms in your life. Because the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15, He tells us there that in quietness and in rest is the strength of the Lord. The strength of our God is when you rest that God is going to take care of you. Stop getting miffed. Stop getting so upset over things that you have no control over. Some of us are on blood pressure medicine. We're taking drugs to try to control our physical responses to stress. And you could get off all that stuff if you would just trust in the Lord. If you just rest in Him. Get a word from God that says you're going to the other side and throw out that stuff, man. Say, look, I don't need to take that Valium. I'm good. I'm at peace with God. I'm at peace with God. I'm at peace with God. Someone asked me the other day, they said, you know, I understand you got this situation going on. He said, I got some medicine that I think will really help you. I said, is it a drug? They said, yeah. I said, I don't want no drugs. I'm not a drug user. So it's just medicine, Pastor. I said, well, I understand that, but I'm going to rebuke it first. I'm not going to ingest anything into my body without first speaking to the storm. And then I get a witness from the Lord. You know, we've raised up a generation that it's just like second nature. Just go to the store and buy something. Doctor, give me something. Why don't you speak to that storm of sickness? Why don't you speak to that storm of unrest in your life? Speak to that storm of insomnia. You know, we take pills to go to sleep and we take a pill to get up in the morning. And then, you know, a Red Bull during the day. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Speak to that storm. Come on, church. We become too passive. And the problem is we've got crusty glassware from yesterday's manna. And we need to get soaked in the presence of God. Get in the presence of the living God. Press into the glory of God. And say, Lord, I want you to feel me. I want you to touch me. I want you to just work in my life, God. I don't want anything else but you. I've got plenty of time for you to deal with me. I'm not in a hurry, Father. I'm not in a hurry. Exodus 14, 13 to 14. Moses told on to the children of Israel, he said, hold on to your peace. Hold on to it. I'm going to hold on to my peace. Jesus is my peace. It's time to challenge the storms in our life. It's time for us to go to another level. It's time for us to grow up. I saw an ad in the paper. I'm going to close with this. I saw an ad in the paper the other day in USA Today. It says, what are they smoking? And it was from Southwest Airlines. And it did the comparison of airlines that are charging you now to put your bags on, charging you money for a Coke or charging you for water, charging you for the peanuts, charging you for a blanket. And they said, Southwest Airlines, no charge, no charge, no charge, no charge. And on the bottom it said, just one fare, price. And I read that and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, tell the church, what have you all been smoking? Don't you realize that you are of the tribe of Judah? Don't you realize that He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Don't you know who you are on the earth? That you are the sons and daughters of God? What you've been smoking? Come on. This is our time to rise up and be the church the way God wants His church to be on the earth. He said, fear not in Isaiah 41. I said, Lord, why not? He says, because I'm with you. I said, you are? He said, yeah, I'm with you. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, cultivate my presence. Because you don't really even know that I'm there. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So cultivate His presence. How do you do that? Talk to Him. Invite Him into your life. Worship Him. Sing a song of praise. There's absolutely nothing that I have found, and I've searched on television, that will cultivate His presence. I've searched. I've looked for something other than TBN and all that. I'm talking about regular, like, news and normal stations and stuff. There's nothing on that that will cultivate His presence in your life. So why are we addicted? The average home today, 4 to 6 hours a day. My God, if we had 4 to 6 hours a day of pressing into His presence, I don't know what we'd be like. We'd be like crazy for Jesus. Come on, church. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with watching TV, but I'm just saying give God equal time. Give God equal time. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Are you in a storm this morning? I have great compassion for you. I know it's tough. I've been through a lot of them myself, man. Whew. Those ominous big black clouds that were over this place Thursday night. Wow. Yesterday we were driving home from the east side of Cleveland. Some huge storms. Torrents of rain. I said, oh God, that's scary. He said, speak to the storms. That's where people are today. They're scared. They're nervous. They're feeling insecure. Speak to the storm over your life. So I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And peace be still. Stand with me, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you pray for us for tonight? If you can't be there, would you at least pray for us? Shoot up a little prayer. We really want to see God do something. This is our very first attempt on that part of town for some kind of a meeting like this. So I really need your prayer. So just shoot up a little prayer. If you can come, your presence will mean so much. You carry a certain weight of authority. So if you can come, be a part. If you can't, I certainly understand that. But I just really need your prayers for tonight. And so this morning, we just want to believe God that if you're going through a storm, Jesus Christ is going to stand with you right now. The Lord of glory is going to stand with you. If you've got a storm going on in your life and you want prayer, would you come out from where you're standing right now? Join me across this altar. Because I believe God wants to minister to you. Elders, would you come? Begin to minister to the people. Troy, would you come and help us to finish this up? Hey, if we broke out in a Holy Ghost revival, you know, we need more time here. We need more time. And just pray with me about that, because I just think that God has a solution. Amen. God has a solution. I just feel that in my spirit. And, you know, whether we have to start service at 9 o'clock or give ourselves more time, I just, you know what? We need more of the presence of God. We need to get in this place earlier. Just begin to soak in the presence of God. Amen. I pray that you'll do that. I pray that you'll do that. And invite somebody. Invite somebody to church. When's the last time you won somebody to Christ? When's the last time you invited somebody to the house of God? You know what I mean? Take that neighbor. Go across the street and say, hey, why don't you come with us? The presence of God is there. The glory of God is there. God will speak to you. God will minister to you. I think that's powerful. You got needs this morning, our elders and altar ministers. Look, there's plenty of people that need to have prayer here. Are we short on prayer people this morning? Yeah? Are we short? You got like 5 more people, so you'd help us out. God bless you, Mr. Troy.
See you later. He needs no announcement, but in case you didn't realize it, Jesus is in this place this morning. In my backyard, there's a fire pit. And the Lord was showing me, as Pastor was preaching, the Lord showed me, sometimes after a night of burning wood, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll go out, and there'll still be little coals, and they'll be smoldering. It'll be smoldering. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, Troy, tell the people to gather themselves together. He said, because sometimes I'll take those little coals and I'll push them close together, and I'll take the wood that hasn't been burned yet. It might have fallen outside of the pit, and I'll put it inside, and then I'll push them close together. He said, Troy, tell them gather close together. Gather close together. All those little coals, gather close together. And the Lord spoke to me and said, tell them, Troy, gather close together. And you see, what I'll do after that, when I gather them all close together and I get that wood that's outside of the pit, I'll put it inside the fire. And I'll put it up there next to those hot coals. And then I'll lean down inside of the fire pit. And I'll blow. and I blow. I just blow, I blow, and I blow. And before long, fire will begin to lick up. Fire will lick up. Fire will begin to lick up. And Matthew 3 verse 11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor, and he'll gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Burn us up this morning. Come on, is that your cry this morning, church? God is declaring, if you'll just gather yourselves together and you'll just allow yourselves to get together this morning and you'll just lift your hands this morning, God said, I'll blow on you. I'll blow this morning. I'll breathe the breath of life that will bring oxygen, that will fuel the fire of revival, that will catch on fire. It will burn throughout this nation and across the globe. Church, if we'll just reach out this morning, if we'll just reach out this morning, if we'll just cry out to him this morning, if we'll just say, God, burn us up, God, burn up everything that's not of you, burn it all up, God, take away the sin, take away the addiction, God, take away the strife, God, take it away, God, take it away, God, take it away. Come on, lift your hands this morning, church, and to begin to cry out and say, God, take it away, God, take it away, God, take it away. Stop, church. Just say, God, take it away. God, take it away. God, take it away. God, take it away. We don't want it anymore, God. I hear the Lord. I hear the voice of the Lord. And I need my army to be like Joshua. I need my army to be like Joshua. It's all or nothing. It's all of the Lamb, it's none of it. It's all of the Lamb, or it's none of it. Come on, church, are you there? And like Joshua, you would declare to anyone who comes upon you, are you for me or are you against me? You're either with me or you're against me. Oh, there's no more in between. There's no more in between, church. Come on, lift your hands and just begin to worship the King of Glory and begin to ask him for his fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand this morning. And if you'll just lift yourself to him this morning, he'll catch you on fire. He'll set you free this morning. He sets captives free. He's in the business of setting them free this morning. He heals cancer. You are the healed of the Lord. He heals cancer. He takes it from your body this morning. Heart disease, you be rebuked in Jesus' name. You be rebuked in Jesus' name. Diabetes, you come out in Jesus' name. Come on, take authority, church. Call down some authority this morning. You are the rock. You are the church. You are the force of glory on the earth that deals with all of this nasty stuff. Come on, come on. Push in, press in. Hallelujah.